Chapter 7, The Lost Childhood. Many of you might look at where you are right now, in trouble with the law, secure detention centers, residential treatment centers, or jails, and wonder, man, how did I get to a place like this? We don't know exactly where you come from or exactly what you went through, but we do know that all of you are survivors, and most survivors have one thing in common. Most have the feeling that they never had a real childhood. No kids play here. Never having a childhood can mean a lot of different things. Maybe you couldn't go outside to play because you lived in a dangerous neighborhood. One 15-year-old guy told us that when he was a little kid, he remembered looking out his grandmother's window and watching other kids play basketball on the playground. His grandmother felt that his neighborhood was too dangerous, and so she wouldn't ever let him go out the house to play with the other kids. He felt that being trapped inside all the time was part of losing his childhood. What takes away from a childhood? Did family violence take away from your childhood? Never feeling safe in your own house? Constantly watching for signs that someone might cause you danger? Or having to protect others from people causing your family members pain can also make you grow up fast. Physical, emotional, and sexual abuse rob kids of the feeling that they are safe and free from worry. There are other ways to feel like your childhood was taken away. When parents use drugs or alcohol or are never around for you, kids have to take on more responsibilities than they feel ready for. Sometimes older kids have to take care of their younger siblings or your parents, and so they never get to hang out with friends. Some kids even have to go to work outside the home to help support their families. Your parents might be around, but too involved with their own problems or activities to have much time or energy for you. Maybe they spend all of their time with their girlfriends or boyfriends and don't seem interested when you try to talk to them. This kind of behavior can make us feel unheard, unimportant, and lonely as well. What? Grow up? Are you kidding? Feeling that you have to start acting like an adult when inside you believe that you never got to be a kid can seem like a bad joke. It can make you feel cheated and pissed off. Mostly it can seem really unfair that you have to start taking on the responsibilities of adulthood when you feel like you got robbed out of being a kid. It would be nice if we could stay young until we got all of the love, education, guidance, and support that we felt we needed to move on to the next phase of our lives. But unfortunately, we do not. Yeah, everybody wants the privileges that come with adulthood, but that's different. What we're talking about is feeling like you got forced into adulthood before you were ready. Walking on a wire without a net, getting shoved out of the nest. Be a kid? Man, I have a kid. Chantel, 16 years old. I had a baby real young. I didn't plan on it, but part of me thinks that I did it on purpose so I can have someone to love me. See, I never got that kind of love from my family. Having a baby seemed like a way for me to have someone to me 24/7. But now that I have a baby, it's different from what I thought. Yeah, it's 24/7, but that means always changing diapers, getting bottles ready, being waked up like 5 times a night. I love my baby, don't get me wrong, but I'm doing the giving, not the getting. That's for sure. It's hard to, because I wouldn't say my mom was a good role model for how a mother should act. So I'm kind of trying to figure this out on my own. If you already have your own child, feeling like you got robbed of your childhood can seem even stronger. So now no one is taking care of you. Plus you have to take care of someone else. When you are a parent, what you want and need comes after your kids' needs. You want a new coat, but there is only enough money for one coat. Too bad, because you know the baby comes first. At least that is what it takes to think responsibly about your child's needs. We have talked to lots of young women who believe that having a baby means that there would be someone around to love them. All their lives, they have craved love and attention, but they didn't get it from their parents. It's like there is a hunger hole in the heart. So now the deep need to be loved tells them that a baby will do this. They think, my parents couldn't love me, but this baby will. This baby will be my real family. And while this is true, they don't realize that a parent's love is different than a child's love. The kind of love that you crave from your parent is all about being taken care of, nurtured, and supported. The kind of love you want is unconditional. That means that no matter how much you messed up, got in trouble, or said mean, nasty things to your parents, they would still love you. If your parents were mature enough to give you unconditional love, they could still see the perfect, loving, good, and wonderful you, no matter what you did. But the kind of love you get from your child is different. A child's love will not satisfy those needs to be taken care of and nurtured. That is not what children do. That is not their job. And any of you who have been forced to be a parent to your child know this is true. Bringing a child into the world to give you what you want or need is tricky business. And looking for your child to give you the love you crave sets up the child to lose their childhood just like you did. Entitlement. Lost childhoods leave you feeling like you got the short end of the stick. A lot of you probably walk around feeling cheated or screwed out of what you deserved. Some kids tell us that they feel like they have a big hole in them or an emptiness they are trying to fill up. If you feel that you were deprived of things that kids need from their parents, you might feel that you have the right to make up for what any way you want. Many feel like you deserve to get what you want by any means necessary. Marquise, 15 years old. My mother just had so many damn kids. There were 6 of us. I was always hearing, just wait until I get paid, then I'll get you the boot you want. I got sick of hearing that because every time that check came, I got the same thing. Nothing. And my friends were all walking around with high gear. So then I just started taking whatever I wanted from stores. I was like, fuck it. Why should everyone else be wearing good boots and pants and $50 shirts and I'm wearing this shit? The word that best describes taking or doing whatever you want because you feel cheated or you had a painful or difficult day, week, month, year, or life is entitlement. Entitlement can play itself out in a lot of different ways. For example, you might feel like it's okay to take from someone else because you think that they have a lot and you never had much at all. You might steal from your parents because you feel like they never gave you what you wanted. Maybe you feel like you deserve to get drunk or high because your day was so bad that you have the right to feel good whenever and however you can. You might can even justify forcing sex on someone. People feel entitled to act violently towards others because this is the way that they were treated. Hey, I've been through a lot. I deserve to lose it once in a while. All of these are examples of entitlement, and here's the big problem. Entitlement often leads you to get what you want by violating the rights of others. In the case of forced sex, you're screwing up someone else's life. With drug truancy, entitlement thinking can lead to high-risk behaviors that may have negative consequences for you. When entitlement leads to risk-taking, believing that life is not fair and feeling we're entitled to even the score can lead to high-risk behavior. Drugging, stealing, and having dangerous sex can all make us feel for a short time that we got what we wanted. It can make the wanting go away for a while, or it can give us a rush or a high that feels good. But all of these high-risk behaviors can have serious consequences and make us feel even worse and lonelier than we did before we committed the high-risk act. Remember the cycle of risk-taking we talked about in Chapter 1? Jose, 13 years old. The last time I got locked up was because I stole a cell phone from a store. I just saw it and really wanted it, but I didn't have no money to get it, so I just took it. I mean, I was looking at all these kids with phones and thinking how bad I wanted one. It didn't seem fair. It was great at first after I lifted it, but then I got caught and they, the cops, told my mother and she was really angry and cried a lot. She asked me why I steal all the time and I didn't know. I just wanted to have stuff, so I took it. But I kicked that. Now when that feeling comes up of wanting to steal, I remind myself that I don't want to come back here. Locked detention. I try to chill with friends or ride my bike instead. Jose came from a house where he was responsible for taking care of his brothers and sisters and sometimes even his mother. He didn't really know his dad, and so he never asked him for help, even when there was not enough money for food. Jose was out on the street at a young age hustling for money. Sometimes he did legal things like delivering groceries, and sometimes he did illegal things like delivering drugs for some guys in the neighborhood. He had been arrested many times for stealing. For him, it was like an addiction. When he saw something he wanted, he took it. Jose described his wanting stuff as a big hole he felt inside of him. The feeling in his house was always sad and tense. People didn't really laugh, and there was an understanding that there was never enough of anything. Money, food, or love. Jose talked about the deeper things filling behind his needs to steal, like the emptiness he wanted to fill up. He began to understand his behavior more. After a while, Jose was able to stop himself before he stole and asked what was really going on inside him. The greater awareness he had over his behavior, the less he felt driven to steal. This made him feel more in control of his life and more powerful. Passing the blame. Another thing that entitlement may cause us to do is to blame others for the mistakes that we have made or the violence we use. If we have convinced ourselves that we were cheated, we might not hold ourselves responsible for our actions. As long as we point the finger at others for the unsafe behavior we have engaged in, we are missing the chance to take control of our lives. The more we trick ourselves into this kind of thinking, the greater the risk that we will repeat our mistakes. We all want to feel good. Let's face it, we all want to feel good. Getting things or doing things that make us feel good is part of being human, and feeling good is a good thing. Entitlement is often our way of trying to get good feelings, feelings of happiness, power, pleasure, belonging, and there is nothing wrong with trying to feel good, as long as you don't violate others or hurt yourself along the way. Here's a list of the ways to feel good that some kids from a group came up with. Ways to feel good and stay clean. Chill with your friends who aren't going to get you in trouble. Get a job because that paycheck feels good. Exercise for the high you get. Listen to music. Do art. Go to the movies if you got the cash. Read. Meditate. Do something positive for someone else. The unfairness of life. Sometimes when we feel that our life has been unfair, we feel like we don't have to play by the rules anymore. This is also part of entitlement. In a way, it's like feeling that the rules don't apply to you because you've already been cheated. And if the world or your family is going to cheat you, then you're going to cheat back. This is the kind of entitlement thinking that leads to high-risk behaviors. But no matter how unfair life has been, you have a choice of how you respond to all these situations. Let's get real. We almost never have total control over our environment. Your bike might get stolen, someone might pick a fight with you, you might get blamed for something that you didn't do. None of these things is fair, and you don't have control over any of them. What you do have control over is how you respond to them. Dealing with an unfair event. When you choose to react to negative or unfair events by taking off the gloves and fighting nasty, things can get even more unfair for you. Each time an unfair event happens to you, make sure your response is not triggered by deeper feelings about your life. For example, let's say your bike does get stolen. Do you tell yourself things like, this kind of shit always happens to me, I have nothing and now they take my bike, or nobody's going to rip me off anymore? Or maybe when someone disrespects you, it triggers the same feelings you had when your mom put you down and made you feel bad about yourself. These thoughts are normal, but if you let these thoughts rule your head for a long time, you probably will use any means necessary to get back what you lost or to right the wrong. Using violence, stealing, or damaging someone else's property could land you in jail. Now, how fair would that be? What you can do to deal with unfair events. 1. Remind yourself over and over, the world is not out to get you. Bad stuff happens to everyone. 2. Assert yourself. Is there a way you can make things right without conflict or aggression? If a store clerk gives you the wrong change, you can assume that she was trying to cheat you and get angry. Or you can assume that she made a mistake and calmly point it out. 3. Walk away. Sometimes it isn't possible to fix things. Someone with an attitude bumps into you and doesn't say sorry. Is that fair? No. Is it worth the fight, violating probation, serving more time, or just handing your personal power over to someone because he or she has an attitude? Definitely not. If you can't fix it, walk away knowing you did the right thing. 4. See it for what it is. No matter how unfair something is, it is probably not the end of the world. Remind yourself that in a day or a week, the unfair thing might not even seem like a big deal to you. Ignore the score. Losing your childhood to poverty, abuse, drugs, or violence is never fair. No child deserves that. But at some point, you have to stop trying to even the score for your own sense of peace. Stealing, drugging, or acting violent will not get back what you lost. It only makes you lose more. You lose your freedom, your power, and your future. Each time you act with entitlement, you cheat yourself. It's okay to say that your childhood was unfair or harsh, but if you feel personally cheated every time something unfair happens, you will experience that loss over and over again. Letting go helps you release the need to even the score. The Gift of Resilience, Jerome, 17. If I haven't been killed yet with everything that came down on my head, then nothing's going to kill me. Losing your childhood because of problems in your family is tough to deal with. But no matter how tough your life was growing up, each and every one of you reading this book survived it. If you're alive, you survived. When a person takes a lot of hard knocks through abuse, neglect, or other trauma and is able to survive, we call them resilient. This means despite of all the tough and painful things that have happened to you, you continue to live and breathe and look for the answers for your life. The fact that you care enough to read this book and think about your future proves that you have not given up on yourself. You know that no matter how much crap that happened in your life, there is something very real worth rescuing. Some part of you wants to heal. Because of this strength to go on and to take control of your life, you are a survivor. Strangely enough, your family gave you this gift. Being resilient doesn't mean that you are perfect and that you will never make mistakes again. What it does mean is that you are willing to keep moving forward and to take on new challenges. It means that you are willing to deal with the past in order to figure out who you are and what you want out of life. Being resilient shows that you possess an inner strength that nobody can ever take away from you. Stop and think. Take a minute and think of the strengths that you possess. Write down at least 3 positive qualities you possess as a result of your background. If you're having trouble seeing what good might have come from your childhood, take a look at the list some other kids came up with. Aware of what's going on around me. Know I can get out of a jam. Good friend. Take care of myself and my family. Keep my cool when I need to. Outward. Caring when someone else is in a pain. Tough. Not afraid to speak my mind. You may look at yourself and see that you are locked up and away from your friends, family, and communities. This might make you judge yourself in a negative or harsh way. By the time most kids get to the point where they are locked up, people have often given them the message that they are bad, useless, and stupid. You might be thinking, maybe I did survive, but I did a lot of dumb things too. It might be hard for you to think of yourself as both a survivor, resilient, and someone who has committed violent acts or has violated the rights and safety of others. However, both of these parts of you can exist inside the same person. Take a deep breath and repeat these words. No matter what, the goodness and strength within me can't be destroyed.